Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day and get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building. Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney Plus. Or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love every day. 18 and up only. Offer valid for eligible subscribers only. Terms apply.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Live. Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Here we go on a Wednesday night. Welcome in. It is a Gray Bar Sports Open Line taking you until 8 o'clock this evening. As always, if you want to chime in on what we're talking about, multiple ways for you to get connected with the program. You can always call or text 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. And for those of you who are watching on our video stream, all you got to do is leave a comment in the chat. We will see it, and we might just talk about that as well as we go through the day. As far as our guest on the show, we're going to have two of them. Bernie Miklas is going to join us in about 10 minutes or so, and we'll talk a lot of Blues with him, but we'll talk some Cardinals as well. And then next hour, we're going to be joined by Mike Meyer. He is part of the team over at STL Sports Central covering the Blues. Tomorrow night, it all begins. This is going to be this will probably be the most Blues that we have talked about on this show since the Blues season ended last year. So it is a fun time to be following the Blues. It is a fun time to be a Blues fan. Obviously, it is a year where expectations are high. I mentioned this with Kevin Wheeler earlier. When you look at this team and don't consider the rest of the NHL and don't consider the conference and the division and all that, this looks like a really good team that could go on a deep playoff run. I'm not saying that they're a Stanley Cup contender, but I am saying that they're a team that can win some stuff in the playoffs. But then where it gets a little dicey is when you start looking at the rest of the really good teams in the NHL and just how many of them are in the Western Conference, and more specifically, how many of them are in the Central Division. This division is a really, really tough division, and we'll see what the Blues do in it. But I'm excited for this group. I said this earlier. I'm not just trying to repeat everything I said during Rush Hour Sports, but I just like the way this roster is put together and therefore how the different lines and how the defensive pairings look. The top two lines, I feel like, can go out and score a lot of goals. where to start the season, top lines, Robert Thomas, Pavel Buchnevich, and Jimmy Snuggerud. Second line is Braden Schenn, centering Dylan Holloway and Jordan Kyrou. At one point during training camp, it looked like maybe Schenn might be dropped to be the third line center, and Pius Suter, who you brought in, might be the second line center, and maybe that still ends up happening if the offense stagnates at some point in time. But even that third line, especially when everybody's healthy, Oscar Sundquist is banged up to begin the year, so Nick Bjugstad's going to move from being a winger on the third line to being the fourth line center. But once you get Sundquist back, and you're going to have a third line that features Neighbors and Bjugstad, it looks like a group that can go out and score a lot of goals. Defensively, I think Cam Fowler and Colton Parayko are just what you want in a top defensive pairing. You need a couple guys who can go out and shut down another team's group of stars. Well, I think they've got a pretty good chance of being able to do that. I like the power play units. We'll see. I guess if there's one area if we're gonna break it down on the four forward lines, the three defensive pairings, the power play units, and the penalty kill units. If there's one area, and then obviously you have the goalies, but we know what they have in that. If there's one area of those top four groups that you look at, the PK, what they're going to be able to do this year, that's still maybe a little bit of a question. But outside of that, I think this team is in a really good spot, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch how this whole thing plays out. Speaking of fun, baseball playoffs are continuing on. It's been a pretty good run. We're monitoring right now what's going on with the Brewers and Cubs at Wrigley in Chicago as the Cubs are playing for their playoff lives as Milwaukee leads the series 2-0, top of the sixth inning right now. Cubs lead the Brewers 4-2. We're at the point now where we're going to start seeing some teams punching their ticket into the championship series. The Tigers were able to stay alive earlier today, forcing game number 5. They beat the Mariners 9-3. Yankees are trying to do the exact same thing. Toronto leads them 2-1. And then, you know, going into the postseason, the Phillies, from a odds perspective, had the best odds to win the World Series. And they find themselves down in their series against the Dodgers, 2-0. And they are they're back playing tonight with the series going back to Los Angeles. So the Phillies lost their first 2 games at home, and now they'll try to stay alive coming up this evening, and we'll see if they're able to do that. I've gotten stuff wrong on this, like specifically to this Brewers Cubs series. I really was surprised that the Brewers won each of the first 2 games of the series and did so in the fashion that they did. I thought the Cubs' power was going to propel them to more success, and that likely that was going to be a 1-1 series coming back to Chicago. Instead, it's 2-0 Milwaukee. So I get things wrong, but as it sits right now, I still feel like the winner of that Phillies-Dodgers series is going to be the National League representative in the World Series. I don't know on the American League side. Man, I can make scenarios where just about all, with all due respect to Kevin Wheeler, the Tigers making it is probably the scenario that seems the least likely to me, but I can absolutely see a scenario where the Mariners get to the World Series and win the World Series. I can see that scenario for the Yankees. I can see that scenario for the Blue Jays as well. It just seems a whole lot more wide open here at the moment in the American League than it does in the National League, but that's me once again doing what all of us who cover baseball seemingly have done year after year after year. That's discount the Milwaukee Brewers, and more often than not, when we've done that, it turns out that we end up being wrong. Again, if you want to join us on the program today, multiple ways to get connected. You can call or text 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air, or you can just leave a comment in the chat. For those of you who are watching on the video stream, we're up live on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, and I would love to hear from you as we take you until 8 o'clock this evening. In addition to Bernie Mikolas and Mike Meyer, we're also going to hear from Blues head coach Jim Montgomery. He met with the media earlier today, and we will play some of what he had to say in his media session in front of tomorrow's season opener against the Minnesota Wild. We'll take a break. We come back, and Bernie Mikolas is going to join us. Don't go anywhere. We roll on with the Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. It's Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Welcome back in. We take you till 8 o'clock this evening. Right now, it's one of my favorite segments of the week when we get to bring in Bernie Miklas. Of course, you see him, you read him over at STL Sports Central, in addition to a fair number of other places. He's all over KMOX as well. He joins us right now. Bernie, always appreciate the time. How are you?
I'm doing good. Kind of a sleepy day. That sounds weird for me, but every now and then it happens, and I like that.
That's all right.
Now I'm fresh. See, I'm fresh for my hit on Sports Open Line.
There you go. And for the first time, I think, since we've been doing these, we're not going to lead with Cardinals. We're going to lead with Blues instead. Your video today focused a lot on Doug Armstrong and how the incredible job he did when you thought, even going back 1 year, Bernie, where you thought that where this team was at and the long-term aspirations of this club at this time last year to where they're at right now, it is a remarkable difference.
He is so great at what he does. And, you know, we kind of need the Blues to raise the excitement level around town. You know, it was a tough, tough baseball season. It's been a tough, tough City SC season as well. And I'm not knocking those teams. That's just a reality. Heck, even the Battlehawks keep, you know, get beat in the playoffs at home. You know, so the Blues were, you know, really uplifted the sports town. And I think they're in position to do it again. And to your point about Doug Armstrong, the thing that amazes me, okay, I didn't know how long his retool, as he called it, was going to last. They missed the playoffs 2 years in a row. It wasn't all that big of a deal. But, you know, we see managers in the NHL in particular, they'll over a year and a half's time or whatever, you know, they'll clear out some of the dead wood on the roster, some of the clutter, and they'll just cycle in some new players. But in my experience, a lot of it is just kind of, you know, shuffling. It's not like you have a master plan in mind. It's like bodies in, bodies out. And when you look at the roster where, and the video is on this, and thank you for mentioning, you look at the roster where they were at the end of the 24 season, you know, out of the playoffs for the second year in a row. And you look at all the players that are no longer here, but more importantly, it's the players that he brought in to fill those spots. We're talking about some really, really elite players, you know, including Broberg and Holloway. He got through the offer sheet at Edmonton. I mean, all kinds of, like, you know, B plus A level talent. And it's so, you know, he had a plan, and it wasn't just roster churn just to be roster churn, but for a guy to be able to clear out all those spaces, but fill those spaces in with really, really good players instead of just guys, right? What a magnificent job he did retooling the Blues. I mean, it's really inspirational. I can't say enough about it. And look, he's one of the best general managers of a pro sports team in St. Louis in our city's history. There's no question about it. And it's like he's on his way towards the exit, and his legacy is adding more to it to where you really appreciate him more and more, you know, in addition to obviously winning the Stanley Cup and putting that team together.
Bernie, cliches are cliches for a reason. A lot of times those cliches are truthful. And one of my favorites is fortune favors the bold. And when you think about Armstrong and what he's done, the Broberg Holloway moves, which just really accelerated this team's progress. And then even making the move for Montgomery right in the middle of the season last year. You had a head coach who had the job for 15 minutes and he didn't really do anything to merit losing your job, but you sit here and have an opportunity. They could have waited till this season. Montgomery probably wasn't going to go anywhere else. They could have had a behind closed door handshake deal that was going to happen, but no, he makes the move right there. Those are bold decisions, and they all impact the team from a positive standpoint.
Well, yeah, he never hesitates. He always does what's right for the team. And, you know, I thought, I firmly believed at the time, it's like, oh, man, he'll go get Montgomery. It's Doug Armstrong. He ain't gonna, you know, pussyfoot around or say, well, that wouldn't be nice. I mean, the guy, whether we liked it or not, Doug Armstrong, he fired the only Blues coach to win a Stanley Cup, you know? So I was a little surprised at the time. So many people were like, oh, that wouldn't be nice to do to Drew Bannister. And it's like, are you kidding me? He fired Craig Berube. I mean, what are we talking about here? And they were, from the time that Montgomery took over, with no time to prepare those guys or have a training camp or anything. You know, they had the seventh best record in the league, and they were the best 5-on-5 team in the league after that coaching change. And they should have won the playoff series, but so what? You know, these things happen. But I'm really looking forward to seeing what this Blues team is going to be like with more talent on it now, but also just having a full training camp under Jim Montgomery.
What concerns you?
Well, gosh, how do I – not a lot concerns me other than the fact that the National Hockey League Central Division is powerful. Yeah. And the Blues, they may have close to 100-point season or go over it a little bit. I don't know what that'll mean as far as where they land in the Western Conference playoffs. Of course, you always worry about injuries. That's always going to be a thing. But I think their depth is really good because they're going to have two of their best young prospects who are on the cusp of the NHL playing down in Springfield, and they'll be on call talking about Dvorsky and Stenberg. So I think their depth is better than I remember it being for a long, long time. So that's why I say I don't have a lot of worries, because you have concerns, the same concern that every fan, every media person in every NHL market have. Just you worry about whether this guy will do better, whether some people will back up and do worse, just those kind of things.
Okay, so let's take this to our car. I wasn't planning to talk about this, but I thought about it as I was listening to you talk. If the idea that fortune favors the bold, if Doug Armstrong did all these bold moves and it has resulted in the Blues really moving their timeline up faster, is there an opportunity for Heim Bloom to be bold this offseason for the Cardinals and push that timeline up?
I'm not sure, because here's the reason. That's a great question. Here's the reason. You know, Doug Armstrong during the Blues downtime, you know, and even the year that one of those years, you know, they made the playoffs, but it didn't matter all that much. But he had been accumulating draft pick capital, where, you know, when he had his fire sale the year that, and all these years run together, but where he traded off some pieces at the deadline, he just kept, he did this like 2 years in a row. He just kept, you know, accumulating draft picks. And so they're not only getting the prospect bounce, but they've also been able to use those draft picks to make other trades that put them in better shape for today. The Cardinals don't have that kind of capital because no one really has draft pick capital. I think you can trade draft picks under certain conditions, but so I think that the way that Heim Bloom's going to have to do it is simply by, you know, trading assets that other teams want. And it's a matter of how aggressive he'll be. And of course, what would happen, another good thing that would happen is if it'd give him more to work with, if Gray and Contreras and Arenado waive their trade clauses, and we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, the other thing on that, Bernie, is in hockey, if you go trade and acquire a draft pick, well, you can draft a dude who has the potential to turn into something pretty special. In baseball, if you are as a team, you draft somebody and it turns out they're going to turn into something pretty special. Very few, even when you look at what happens at the trade deadline, the top 100 level prospects rarely, rarely get traded in Major League Baseball. It is so much tougher to acquire young, raw prospect minor league talent in baseball than it is in sports, where trading draft picks is something that's easier.
See, you explained it better than I did, and you did a great job there. That's absolutely right. And let's face it, the NHL is just, you know, Looney Tunes, and I mean that in a good way. Part of the entertainment in the NHL, these general managers, most of them, are just out of their minds. In other words, they'll trade anybody, anything for any number of draft picks. I mean, they just don't hold back. They're not hesitant. They're not, you know, the type that are like, oh, I don't know about this, I'm not sure. I mean, they go. It's a little different in baseball, unless you're A.J. Preller or a couple of these other guys, Dave Dombrowski, that have this history of being kind of mad traders. You know, they haven't won a World Series yet, but you know, A.J. Preller, in the NHL, let me put it this way, there's like 15, 20 general managers who win the press conference at the trade deadline every year. In baseball, there's all kinds of guys who win the press conference, but nothing happens. You know, the Mets this year, the Yankees this year, the Padres this year, and Philadelphia this year, on and on and on. Their teams really didn't get better.
Okay, so last thing for you before I get you out of here.
Yep.
I give the Cardinals grief all the time about being motivated by fear of the worst case scenario. where you find out whatever the worst case scenario is and you make decisions based upon trying to avoid that, even though it's likely not to happen. And that's not just a Cardinals thing, and it's not just an on-field thing. Every baseball owner will tell you, well, you can't do that because we don't know what the TV deal is going to be like. Well, we don't know that. We got labor issues coming up. Well, we can't do that. We don't know if gambling money is going to be. Like, it's always fear of the unknown moving forward, despite the fact that they have these revenue streams that continue to mostly move in an upward direction until you have something destabilized like local TV. But they're going to make up that with national TV. Why is it that hockey can be a sport where leadership wants to be bold, and baseball is a sport where starting from most owners, not all of them, but most owners and trickling all the way down to field managers, it seems like more teams, again, this is not a Cardinal thing, this is a Major League Baseball thing, they are so motivated by avoiding worst case scenario.
That's really, would you feel like writing a guest column for me at STL Sports Central? That's a really great take, man. It really is. It's outstanding. So I'm going to steal your idea. Actually, if I steal it, I won't steal it. I'll say, I was talking with my good friend and colleague, Matt Pauly, and he made a great point, and then I'll fill in the rest. So, no, that was good. Why is that?
I don't know.
Why are baseball teams, with a couple of exceptions, obviously, why are they so timid or like worried about everything? You know, looking at the worst case scenario, as you said, rather than looking at it as a great opportunity. I could be wrong about this, but I think it's going to change here with Chaim Bloom, because I think he's going to be really aggressive, and he'll be aggressive in ways that aren't necessarily big headline grabbing moves. You know, he's going to work on the margins, and they're going to be bringing in players that aren't named players, but their analytics people and everybody else see some things that where they can make these guys better. That's what the Brewers do all the time. And we Chaim Bloom talked about it the other day when I asked him a question on Gas House Gang about that. And he went on and on and on and on about how the Brewers have figured this thing out. So, I think he takes them as his model. He doesn't need a model because he's got his own background. But like he said, you better pay attention with teams that are better than you, what they're doing. You better pay attention to what they're doing, because you can learn.
I know I told you last thing, but just one last point before I let you go, because Pat Murphy, the Brewers manager, was speaking before the game today, and they made a lineup change where Bowers and Lockridge were put in, and then they got a couple guys who are going to be able to come off the bench, and Pat Murphy was asked about it, and his quote was, I put a lot of time into it, and I got a lot of research into it. So they do research, Bernie, like on the simplest things of, hey, right, I might make a lineup change today. They got 9,000 Ivy League educated people working in their baseball operations department that can give a 900-page dissertation to Pat Murphy on why starting Bowers today is a good decision. Like those are the sort of things that need to happen more with the Cardinals.
There's no doubt about it, and it will, and it will. New man in charge, and it's going to be his way, but he's a responsible guy. He's not going to be a dictator. Just to add something real quick, and you know what's great about Pat Murphy? He's about as old school a baseball guy as there is, especially just to watch him in the dugout. You can see that. You know what? He knows that front office is absolutely brilliant. Mm-hmm. He knows that it's basically the best in the sport. And instead of being this dinosaur that, you know, wants to push back, I don't know, they recommend this, I don't know about that, you know, he goes along with it because he respects those guys and knows how smart they are, which is a contrast to, like, some managers, but it's a contrast to a lot of baseball fans.
Yeah.
Where they think this stuff is evil. It should be outlawed. It's ruining the game and all nonsense. Information is valuable if you use it correctly.
If Oliver Marmol said, I put a lot of research into something, you're going to get the, there's iPad Ollie again. Like, that's going to be the reaction.
No, listen, I love our baseball market, but we have to be honest. Our baseball market is still like stuck in the 60s or something. And I don't know why that is. I love traditional things. I'm nostalgic. I like old school things. But when I have a team and it's my team that I want to see win, I'm like, you better take advantage of every edge provided by information that you can. You better stay ahead of the rest of the pack. Why people are opposed to that, I just am simply astonished, because it never stops.
Yeah. I kept you long. Thank you for being so gracious with your time today. Before we let you go, though, can you share with us a little bit about Saliga?
I'd be happy to do it. Saliga Heating and Cooling's been taking care of St. Louis family since 1927. It's a Daikin Comfort dealer. They've been taking care of the Miklas family since, I would say about 17 years now. And in our experience, Saliga has always looked for low-cost solutions to save us money. They start there, and then we work our way. If we got to work our way up because it's a more serious issue, even then, they'll find the expensive solution that they can for us. And they take great care of us. We never have doubted, not for one second, their integrity or their professionalism or their knowledge and their ability to handle any job, no matter how big or small or in the middle it is. And they're going to treat you with class. And they service all makes and models that can handle your heating and cooling needs for home or business. Don't forget your business if you need it. I recommend Saliga's Priority Club. It's a maintenance plan that's going to save you money by extending the life of your current equipment. And you'll receive priority scheduling and have some other perks. But more than anything, you have the comfort of knowing your home is safe and ready for all seasons. So if you want to find out more about all the Saliga heating and cooling this Daikin Comfort dealer offers, go to SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com and you'll see the phone number there. It's Saliga Heating and Cooling.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This is new. I haven't heard this one. Is this a Kyle Sixta special here?
No, it is not.
Boom, 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 boom. Kind of like it. Good little beat. There you go. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly, as always. If you want to chime in, you can call, text 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. Tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air. For those of you who are watching on the video stream, just leave a comment in the chat. If around 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock this afternoon, you felt like a shiver go down your back, this is why. I read from a story that was posted at ESPN.com. And before I even read, let me say this. Like, I am not anti-sports gambling at all. I think you have to be safe with it. I think it needs to be... I think being addicted to gambling is a thing, and I'm not trying to say that it hasn't had a negative impact on some people, but... there are a lot of things in this world that people can get addicted to, and it can destroy things. So if you're smart about it, if you've got disposable income that you want to use for entertainment purposes, and the entertainment purpose that you have is any type of gambling, I'm not going to be mad at you. So, you know, working in baseball, we all know about the most important rule that you don't bet on baseball. It's why Pete Rose isn't in the Hall of Fame. We know these things. So I say all that to say this. I'll read from this ESPN story that was written by David Purdom. The NCAA Division I Administrative Committee on Wednesday, that's today, adopted a proposal to allow student athletes and athletic department staff to bet on professional sports, a shift in a long-held policy that had become difficult to enforce with the spread of legal sports betting in the United States. Division II, Division III are expected to consider the proposal in their respective meetings at the end of October. The NCAA said if approved by the lower divisions, the rule would go into effect on November 1st. Athletes and athletic staff have been prohibited from betting on any sport, professional or collegiate, that was sponsored by the NCAA. Betting on college sports will remain off limits. Okay, so the most important thing here is that betting on college sports will remain off limits. We know that. I've worked in college athletics. I've been a team broadcaster for college teams. And at one point, I worked at a radio station where there was a lot of us that were connected to the university, and we didn't even do NCAA tournament brackets because, like, technically, I think that was some sort of violation or could be viewed as a violation. So, even if it doesn't involve sports gambling, like, I've lived this of what's going on. Loosening up the rules here does not seem like a good idea to me. And I know the people on the other side are going to say, A, they're not betting on college sports, it's pro sports, why does it matter? And honestly, like, I don't have a huge answer to that question. I just know how it feels. This is a feels thing for me. I don't like presenting things from a feels standpoint. I'm the type of person that likes to have more tangible reasons for something. But I just feel icky with this. I don't like the idea of college athletes betting on sports. I don't want somebody playing for a national championship in football and then being able to bet on the Super Bowl. Like, something about that just doesn't seem right to me. So I don't like that. I don't like athletic staff being able to do it. And so often there's a lot of movement. People who work in college athletics very often move to professional athletics and vice versa. You're a strength coach for a college football team. You might be a strength coach for an NFL team the next year. You're a strength coach for a college basketball team. You might be in the NBA next year. There's a lot more movement, and there's a lot more relationships. You play college football. You're a sophomore or a junior. Well, guess what? The guy who was a sophomore or junior or senior last year, they're playing in the NFL now, and they're your boy. So you might hear something. You might know something. There's too many areas where this can go really bad, really, really, really fast. There was the baseball thing this year with Emmanuel Clase, where, and somebody, I can't remember who else was, but there was a couple, I think they were both Cleveland pitchers, who you could obviously see that they had some throwaway pitches. So what's going on? They tell somebody, hey, the first pitch I throw in the seventh inning is going to be a ball. Go bet on that. And you can do that. There's in-game betting, which that's probably ridiculous on its own merit. But when all of a sudden there's even more relationships, when you've got a guy who plays in the NFL, who is friends with somebody who's still playing college football, and there's no restriction on that, especially what if a guy's in a practice squad and he's going to be cut soon and his football career is going to be ending, and he's got a chance to give somebody some bit of information that's going to result in a lot more money? I'm uncomfortable. Kyle Sixt is here. Kyle, you're younger than me. You're probably more hip than me on things like this. You see worlds from a more trendy perspective. Am I right? Am I wrong? Do you get uncomfortable at all by this one?
I do. It's tough because on one hand, like you said, it's not like they're betting directly on college sports. But again, a lot of these players could be going to the NFL, could be going to the NBA. And I don't know. I just view it as you get in the habit of betting, you get in the habit of doing this as a hobby. And then when you make it to those leagues, all of a sudden you're just expected to stop.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a lot easier said than done. And like you said, in a lot of these situations, it just doesn't make you feel great.
And the NCAA's had betting scandals the last, like, a ton of baseball players, college baseball players have been caught betting on sports. It's just loosening up the rules right now is not the correct we need to get things figured out where everything's going to sit just in the entire world of college athletics before we start loosening up rules like these. So they're going to go down this path. Look, it's really hard for the NCAA to enforce, right? If a D3 tennis player wants to sit at home and get on one of the apps and bet on Monday Night Football, it's really, really challenging to stop them from being able to do that. And sometimes I think the NCAA changes rules not based off what's right or wrong, but what's based on what's actually enforceable. And these are rules that, unless you're dumb about it, can be tough to enforce. But that doesn't mean that the rules should not be there. And let's even get rid of athletes, like athletic staff. Guess what? I don't want my local athletic director betting on sports. I don't think that's crazy. You know, I don't want to hear about that. I don't want to see that. Like that's no. The athletic staff held to a higher standard. You want to work in college athletics? Guess what? You don't get to bet on sports. Deal with it. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Just a couple minutes left here in hour number one of the program. We talked a little bit in the last segment about the NCAA loosening up restrictions for both athletes and also athletic staff on potentially betting on sports, not college sports, but having the ability to bet on pro sports. I wasn't going to continue this conversation here into this segment, but I saw this as well, and it just kind of goes back to my reasoning to be really careful. So there was a study that I guess was commissioned by the NCAA, and this came out today as well. And according to this study commissioned by the NCAA, sports betting related abuse remains one of the most common forms of online harassment directed at college athletes, college coaches, and college officials. And you might not believe this. Overall, online abuse has actually gone down in the last year. We talk so much about the abuse that happens on social media and things like that, not just sports related, but just world related. I mean, you turn on Netflix and you watch a documentary about a mom who's catfishing her own daughter for gosh sake. Like it seems like it's everywhere. I guess the good news is online abuse actually is going in a downward direction. So still a toxic place, but maybe getting a little bit less toxic. But when it comes to people who bet on sports, they tend to abuse college athletes, coaches, and officials online. According to this study, betting and match fixing related abuse represents 11% of the nearly 4,000 messages that were flagged by the study. That is twice as much as racial abuse or threats of violence. So obviously when we, and I'm not trying to say anything's better or worse or anything, I'm not trying to go down that path right now, but there is a spotlight, and rightfully so, when there's abuse of a racial nature, when there is abuse of an ethnic nature, things like that. Abuse, when it comes to this, happens twice as much as the other. Sexual and sexism were the most common categories of abuse. And then you got to the sports things in there. So, and though the percentage numbers haven't really changed, but that's just... That's part of the problem here. Like we got to figure out where we're going when it comes to sports betting. I think there need, like, I'm very glad that it's been legalized in Missouri, because I would like there to be, and I'm not trying to advocate against states' rights or anything like that, but this is one of those areas where it feels like it would be better to get a handle on it and to actually deal with what's going on if the rules were more standard across the board, across the country. The NCAA is going to be involved in this. It's just we're still very much in the wild, wild west when it comes to this. And sometimes I think people forget about the fact that, yeah, you know what? It's great that you get to go bet on a game. And I'm glad for that. And I'm glad it's happening in Missouri. And those are really, really good things, I think. But it also, there is a negative impact that can be had. And then when all of a sudden the rules start getting changed and you've got this study coming out about the abuse that's being levied at student athletes, there's just a lot of unrest. The water is not settled right now. And you would like to see the water get settled a little bit more before maybe some of these bigger decisions can be made. All right, we will move on from this conversation. I want to talk a little bit about what we talked about during Rush Hour Sports today. Those Cardinals arbitration prediction numbers and what that could mean for the team, we'll talk about next here on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
We are back at it as we roll into hour number two of the program. We're going to do a lot of hockey here in hour number two as we are going to talk with Mike Meyer from STL Sports Central. He's going to join us in about 15 minutes, and then later in the hour, we're going to hear from Blues coach Jim Montgomery. He met with the media today in front of tomorrow's season opener, and we'll play back some of what he had to say earlier today. Wanted to go back through something that we talked about during Rush Hour Sports today, and it's a couple days old, but I'd been waiting to talk about till Kevin and I had the conversation, but want to push the conversation forward a little bit more. Every year, the good folks at MLBTradeRumors.com, they put together arbitration projections. So basically, they project how much a player would make if they would go through the arbitration process. And to their credit, they're not, obviously, you're not going to get it 100% correct, but they're pretty close. They're pretty close. So the Cardinals have 9 arbitration-eligible players this year. And we'll go through them and the numbers. Jorge Alcala is at $2.1 million. That is his projection. Jojo Romero, $4.4 million. John King, $2.1 million. Lars Nootbaar, $5.7 million. Brendan Donovan, $5.4 million. Andre Pallante, $3.4 million. Nolan Gorman, $2.9 million. Alec Burleson, $3.5 million. And Matthew Liberatore is at $2.8 million. If you've been listening to me for years and years and years, not years and years and years, I've only been here for a few years, but if you've been listening to me since I got the job and I've been here hosting this show, you know that every year I go through this and I kind of make my predictions on what it's going to look like. And pretty consistently, where I get things wrong is I think more individuals are going to be tendered contracts than actually are. And that is it always plays out that way. So if there's 10 guys that are arbitration eligible, then I'll say, well, I think 8 of these guys are going to be tendered contracts, and it turns out 6 of them end up being tendered contracts instead. So that's my track record, where I always think that more are going to be tendered than actually are. For this one this year, I'm really confident that most of these guys are going to be tendered contracts. And like Kevin and I were talking about earlier, just because you tender somebody a contract doesn't mean they're going to be playing for you next year. But if you've got an asset, and players are assets, if you've got an asset and you want to move on from that asset or trade that asset, the best way, you can't do that without tendering a contract. So for me, the names that are no-brainers that you pick up are Jojo Romero, Lars Nootbaar, Brendan Donovan, Andre Pallante, Nolan Gorman, Alec Burleson, and Matthew Liberatore. And there's going to be, of all those names, I know there's going to be some people that hear me say Nolan Gorman and say, well, why would you, if you're, because I've spoken openly about the fact that I'm not as confident now as I was 2 months ago that Nolan Gorman is going to be part of this team from a long-term perspective. The way he finished the season this year, it left me desiring more, and it made me feel like the really good numbers that he put up for 2.5-3 months starting on June 1st, that those were kind of neutralized out in a way from what he did down the stretch, where you're just thinking about, okay, is this always going to be who he is, that he's a guy who can just not find consistency? And it's not just about going into slumps, but it's about going into long slumps at any given moment. That's a tough player to have on your roster. Even that being said, you're not going to, I don't think you're going to tender, not even if the Cardinals don't look at Nolan Gorman as being a big part of the organization, even if there's somebody that they don't think is going to be on the team next year, which I don't get the sense that any of those kind of decisions have been made. I would suspect that he's tendered a contract, and then at the very least you can trade him. There's going to be interest in Gorman. Now, is he going to have the value that he had 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when he was still a younger player and still had prospect status and all that? No, of course not. Like it's the car theory, right? A car loses its value when you take it off the lot. Well, many times with baseball players, they're going to lose their value when they start playing a little bit, especially if they don't play to the level of which their value can go in an upward direction. And Gorman, bluntly, has not played up to what I think a lot of people thought he was going to be when he first arrived from the minor leagues. So the questions remain, and this is where Kevin and I talked about today on Rush Hour Sports. Jorge Alcala, $2.1 million. I'd pick that up in a second. And I know the overall numbers this year were not great. He showed flashes. $2.1 million is not a lot of money. And he throws hard. He throws very hard. To me, that's one easily worth picking up. I'll be curious what they do with John King. So King also makes $2.1 million, or is projected to make $2.1 million, excuse me. And he's got more of a track record. He was not especially good this past year. He has had some very good moments during his career, but can you go find somebody that can give you basically the same production that you're going to get for John King and maybe get it for a little bit less money? Yeah. So I think the organization likes King, and that's the one that I go back and forth on. The one that I would be surprised that they pick up, and they're Andre Pallante, we talked about this a ton during Rush Hour Sports. I try real hard on this show not to just repeat everything that I said during that hour. But I think you can do better than Pallante. And even though $3.4 million is not a ton of money for a starting pitcher, and even a starting pitcher who a couple years ago had a really, really good half season worth of starting, you're not going to tender contracts to all 9 of these players. And Pallante seems like a guy that if he's a replacement level player, or if he's a below replacement level player, which is what his performance was this past year, I don't see the value in picking up that kind of, because I also don't think he's overly movable. You know, it, when we compare, let's go to a hypothetical scenario where neither Andre Pallante or Nolan Gorman are valued by the team from a long-term perspective. And there's going to be players who are on the team this upcoming season who bluntly probably are not valued from a long-term perspective, but they're already in the organization. The team's not going to use resources to bring in somebody better, and maybe a trade just isn't going to work out at that spot, so they're going to be around. That's going to happen. So just because somebody isn't for sure in the long-term plans doesn't mean that they're going away this offseason. Some of them will. We know that some of these players are going to get traded away. But if we're comparing Nolan Gorman and Andre Pallante, Pallante at about $3.5 million, Gorman at about $3 million, which one of those two guys has more trade value? I don't think you're going to have a hard time finding a team that would trade for Gorman. He has more of a major league track record where he has shown a certain level of success. He has a skill in being able to hit for power that every team wants more of, and that is one of the skills that results in you winning more baseball games. And I'm sure there's going to be teams out there that feel like if they get their hands on Gorman, they're going to be able to find some more consistency with him than what the Cardinals have been able to do. So I'm not sitting here telling you that you're going to get a top 100 level prospect or anything like that for Gorman, but there's going to be trade value. You can move on from a Nolan Gorman. If you pick up if you tender a contract to Andre Pallante with the idea that you're going to probably move on from him, I don't see where the value is for another team. Maybe somebody takes a flyer on him, but I think in all likelihood, there's just not going to be a whole lot of interest there. So that's where they're at. Again, I get this wrong every year. I get it wrong every single year where I think the team's going to tender a lot more guys than they actually do. And sometimes they don't tender guys, and it's a big deal, and it turns out, like, I remember 2 years ago, they didn't tender Andrew Kisner. I was inundated on this show with people telling me how it was the worst decision that the Cardinals have ever made in not bringing back Andrew Kisner, and how dare they do that, a horrible decision, yada, yada, yada. And I'm not trying to denigrate Andrew Kisner, really liked him as a Cardinal, good player, but I mean, you look at his numbers since then, hasn't done anything special. You look at what the Cardinals have gone from a production standpoint from the catching position in that time since then, it's been more than, like, that was clearly and obviously the right decision to make at the time. So sometimes decisions in the moment when you non-tender a player seems a little bit odd, seems a little bit wacky. Sometimes you non-tender a good player because you feel like it's not even going to be worth the return on a trade, right? Like, so again, let's go back to Nolan Gorman. This would be the reason to non-tender a Nolan Gorman, which I don't think is going to happen, but this would be the reason. If the Cardinals make the decision that Nolan Gorman's not going to be part of this team moving forward and they want to move on from him, and they kind of get a sense of what the return's going to be in a trade, and it's not going to be anything overly remarkable, well, why even deal with it then? You can just wash your hands of it by non-tendering them, or if you tender them, you got to go through arbitration, you got to get the deal done, you got to, maybe you don't even get to that point, you got to work out a trade, you're going to get something back, and that thing that you get back isn't even going to be that good, it just wasn't worth the effort. That, if they feel like that is what the return would be for Gorman, well, then that would be the reason not to do it. I don't think that's the case. I think they can get something of value for Gorman if they were to try to trade him this offseason. We'll take a break. When we come back, we are going to talk some hockey. Looking forward to talking with somebody that hopefully we talk to fairly often during the course of the Blue season. He is Mike Meyer. He's part of the team over at STL Sports Central. He joins us next. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name's Matt Pauly. Tomorrow, it's going to be a fun one as the St. Louis Blues are set to open up their season. There's high expectations for this team, a very, very good team on paper, and they open up their season at home tomorrow night to match up against the Minnesota Wild. And to preview the season, happy to welcome back on to the program. He is a part of the team over at STL Sports Central, covering the Blues, doing a lot of coverage of the Blues, both just during the week and their post-game shows and everything. He is Mike Meyer. You follow him on Twitter at M_MEYER3. Mike, thanks for spending some time and coming back on Sports Open Line. How are you?
Matt, I'm doing well. Fall here is in the air, college football, and we got puck drop here in about 24 hours, so I could not be doing better.
Yeah, it's a really exciting time, and I keep saying that you look at the the Blues and you say, this is going to be a really good team, and then you also look at the division that they play in and you go, oh man, that might be pretty tough because there's a lot of really good teams. How do you kind of reconcile those two things, them being a really good team, but also them being a team that's going to be a challenge because of who they most often play against and who they're competing against inside of the division?
Yeah, you nailed it. You know, this is absolutely going to be a really tough division. I think one of the biggest challenges here for this entire division is going to be health and depth. Health here, obviously, you know, if your guys are able to stay healthy, you know, you have a better chance at them, you know, to put the puck here in the back of the net, defend, and just be able to help put some points here on the board. But bottom line, it's going to be able to come down here to depth. And when you're looking around at some of these big powerhouse teams, you know, your Colorados, your Dallases, you know, a bunch of these guys, you're starting to lose some of their scoring depth here as some of these guys are moving on, taking bigger contracts here elsewhere. Winnipeg has unfortunately lost some different talent here across the league. And, you know, they're starting to move on, and some of their depth, I think, is going to be challenged. And that's going to be an advantage here to the Blues, who I think you can confidently say here at this point that they're able to roll four lines. And they're not just looking to defend here with that third and fourth line, but they're looking to be able to, you know, get the pucks in deep, and they're looking to take those scoring chances and those opportunities and really be able to, you know, score here on those last minute goals. So if the Blues can be able to stay healthy, Lord willing here, you know, they're going to be looking here, pushing at the very least for a wild card spot. But I think I can at least conservatively say looking here at one of the top three positions in the division.
The third and fourth lines did take a little bit of a hit with Oscar Sundquist going out to injury. And it's not expected to be a long-term injury, but they do move Nick Bjugstad off the wing on the third line and move him to the fourth line center. And then somebody like Matthew Joseph can step into that third line to work along Neighbors and Suter. How much does that you know, domino effect impact just the idea of being able to roll four lines like you just said?
Well, I think it's going to give their depth a real chance to show what they have. You know, right now they gave Alexander Texier a chance. Matthew Joseph looked great here in the preseason, like he's earned that spot, especially here if they wanted to put him here in the fourth line. I think they're going to be rolling here with him right now here on the third. But a guy here like, again, Texier, he's going to be able to show what he can be able to do here in the lineup. Regardless of what they want to do here with Milan Lucic, and if they choose to be able to move forward here with him, he can be able to add a bit of an added piece of depth here to the lineup here in and of itself. So I think, you know, that it's just going to give them some strength and some opportunity, but to see really just where this depth here is at, and if they do need to end up recalling somebody here from the AHL so that they can be able to continue to just feel to increase and raise up that floor. So this is just going to be a great time here for them, again, to see what they've got.
I don't mean for this to be a negative conversation because I'm so positive about the team, but you mentioned Texier, so I'll ask. I mean, this is if you want to talk about a frustrating player, because at times the flashes he shows that he can be a really, really good player, but then from a consistency standpoint, he just doesn't do enough to stay in the lineup, and it's it's very frustrating in that sense.
Yeah, and that's I think that's a pro and a con here for it, because like you said, he has shown flashes here of it, and he needs to be playing in a middle six position. But the problem is that the Blues have so much depth here on the wings, and so, you know, for a guy here like him, he has to be willing to go out there and be able to give his all every single shift. But, you know, if you're trying to be able to do this and prove that you deserve to be in the lineup, you know, and be able to get some higher ice time and take that away from a Pavel Buchnevich, a Jake Neighbors, and so on and so forth, you know, you're talking about some tall tasks at this point in time. So this is, again, where, you know, you have an injury that comes up, and he can be able to show and prove that he is at least a worthy piece to stay here in the lineup. But this is a guy who absolutely just needs, I think, more of a chance. And hopefully the Blues, you know, that he's going to be able to reward the Blues here throughout at least the first couple of weeks.
So that top line has Jimmy Snuggerud on one of the wings, being centered by Robert Thomas and Pavel Buchnevich on that line as well. How much of a benefit can this be for Snuggerud? A, working with two established veterans. B, working with a guy like Thomas who can just do things with the puck that is incredible. And when you're somebody like Snuggerud, you're going to be looking to get set up to be a sniper, and he has shown that ability. It just feels like this is a really good opportunity for him to be put in a position to have success.
Well, to come in here as a rookie and to play top line, I mean, it's almost unheard of here in the NHL. And we have seen, for fans who have paid attention to him here, not just in the NCAA, but of course, you know, at the World Juniors here on an international stage, this guy has an absolute cannon here of a shot. And to be surrounded by world-class playmakers here in Pavel Buchnevich and Robert Thomas, that is all the more better here for him to go to just keep putting the pucks here in the back of the net. But as fans saw here as well throughout the preseason, you know, he can absolutely be a playmaker here as well. And I think that is what surprised a lot of people, because you keep hearing about this shot that Jimmy Snuggerud here has, but then you see plays that he makes, and I don't think some of his line mates were expecting him to be able to make a centering pass from down below the goal line, for him to be able to make some of the different passes and feeds, because this guy just sees the puck so clearly. He sees plays before they end up happening. And so I think it's going to be even a little bit more of an adjustment for his line mates just to get used to how much that he sees and how clearly he sees the game here in front of him. So the sky's the limit here, I think, for a world-class player, and I think a future St. Louis favorite here in Jimmy Snuggerud.
There's so much pressure on top defensive pairings to be able to shut down other teams' top players. Cam Fowler, Colton Parayko, that's the top defensive pairing. How good can these guys be? How confident are you that they are individuals that can go out and shut things down when they really need to?
This is, I think, one of, if not the best line mates here that Colton Parayko has had since Jay Bouwmeester. You know, it's nothing against any of the other guys, because we have rolled through with plenty of different defensemen and guys who are extremely talented here at the NHL level. But a world-class player here like a Cam Fowler, who can be able to not only, again, feed in here offensively, but the guy who can be able to just play a solid, solid defensive game. I think he just matches so well here with Colton Parayko. I think what you saw here last season was exactly what you're going to be able to see here this coming year, especially as Jim Montgomery looks to be able to get the defensemen more active, more engaged here in the offensive zone, get them a little bit deeper, let them be able to play here offensively, which is one of Cam Fowler's strengths. And I think that this is going to be able to be just a situation where they're going to continue to also feed Colton Parayko and just let him just continue to eat and just rack up those points.
Final moment with Mike Meyer from STL Sports Central. If there's one area of this team that concerns you, what would it be?
Well, unfortunately, I think it actually has to go to goaltending. Mm-hmm. You know, we saw Colton Ellis get claimed here off of waivers by Buffalo. And unfortunately, if one of these goaltenders here now goes down, you're looking a little bit thinner, you know, here back to Springfield of, okay, who do we call up and who's ready to potentially take on a backup role, whether it be Bennington or Hofer, who's going to be able to assume the starting role position. You know, I was a lot more confident, you know, if a Colton Ellis is going to get called back up, but you know, now you're looking down there and saying, okay, is Vadim Zarenko going to be ready here to be able to take on an NHL backup role? That's yet to be seen. So I think if it's one of those positions, it's in the event of an injury here to the goaltending.
If your biggest issue is your third string goalie, you're in a pretty good spot.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. We're in a really good situation, depth and very, very fluid here this season. And hopefully that just continues to pay off here for them.
Well, you're going to help lead the coverage over at STL Sports Central when it comes to the Blues. People can just follow along on the various social media channels and yours as well, at @M_MEYER3. Mike, thank you so much for the time. Hopefully we can catch up with you fairly frequently here during the Blues season.
Would love it. Have yourself a great rest of your night, guys.
Awesome. Very good. That's Mike Meyer joining us. We appreciate him spending a few moments with us. We're going to keep the Blues conversation rolling. Up next, we're going to hear from Blues head coach Jim Montgomery. He spent a little bit of time speaking with the media earlier today. So we're going to play back much of what he did have to say. That's going to be coming up in just a few moments. So don't go anywhere. We hear from Blues coach Jim Montgomery. That's coming up in just a moment. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. Back at it's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. We are taking you until 8 o'clock this evening. Tomorrow, it is a big day here in the city and a big day for the St. Louis Blues as a season with a lot of optimism. It officially begins tomorrow as the Blues are going to be in action at home as they're going to match up against the Minnesota Wild. We're going to have a little fun with audio here as head coach Jim Montgomery did meet with the media earlier today. Want to play some of what he said as he looks forward to the season opener tomorrow. And there seems to be a lot of optimism about what this team is going to be from a power play standpoint. It feels like the groupings that they have are going to give them an opportunity to have a fair amount of success with the man advantage. One big part of that is being able to get into the zone quickly. And for Montgomery, he talked a little bit about today about what needs to happen for them to get entries into the zone as efficiently as possible.
It's really important people finish their routes on our entries so that we have the extra players, so we should be able to, even if we can't carry it in clean, we should be put in areas where we were able to win first touch battles and move pucks away from pressure. Now, sometimes some teams make it a lot more difficult than others, and that's an area where we got to continue to improve so we get more in-zone time on the power play.
Today was also a big day just in the sense that the line groupings that we're expecting to see in the opener tomorrow, that was the group that was working on the ice. And Montgomery said, while nothing is officially set in stone, it was good to have that full group working together.
I mean, we're continuing to evaluate, you know, like who will play for sure tomorrow. That being said, I really like practice today. I thought pace, purpose, effort, and second effort and execution was way better than yesterday, and that's what we want. You know, we had a day and a half basically off, and yesterday I didn't expect them to be as sharp, but I did expect them, and credit to the players and the leaders of our team, they made sure we were ready today, so I'm looking forward to tomorrow.
Montgomery spent some time talking about some individuals. Let's start with Robert Thomas, as he's obviously such a big part of this team, and as he goes, largely feels like the team will go. There's a bunch of guys that you can say that about, but with the way this team is set up, it feels like there's a handful of individuals that they really need them to perform for the team to be able to perform at their highest level, and certainly Robert Thomas is one of those guys, has the ability to make lots of plays on the ice, and Montgomery spent some time talking about what makes Thomas so special.
I think it's a combination of elite hands and an elite vision. He scans the ice before he gets the puck. Even if he doesn't have time to scan the puck, his feel for where they are and where we are is excellent. He puts pucks to spaces, and he usually puts it right in a position where someone can do some damage with it. So yeah, it's fun to watch sometimes. He comes back to the bench, and I'm like, I don't know how you effing saw that guy, but it's a credit to him, because you're standing there still as a coach, and he makes a play that you don't see from the bench. It's pretty amazing.
It's going to be really fun this year to watch Jimmy Snuggerud. He got a little bit of time, obviously, at the end of the season last year, and to see how much different he looks this year compared to last year, and then just that continued development. Whether it's Snuggerud or really any other young player, what does Montgomery want to see from them?
Expect the puck at all times. That's number one. And number two is, you know, get yourself in position to receive, to score, whether it's off the rush driving back door, whether it's in the offensive zone getting inside the dots, not outside the dots, so when he gives it to you, you've upgraded your scoring opportunity.
And then Pavel Buchnevich, he is that whole line, as we talked about Robert Thomas a moment ago, then Snuggerud, now we talk about Buchnevich. That, as it is right now, is set to be the top line. Montgomery talked about Buchnevich, where he's at right now, and what he has to do to get the most out of his abilities.
Well, I think he's done everything he has to do as far as being in real good shape, being healthy right now. And then the rest is just trusting his instincts. Another guy with high high-end offensive and defensive instincts. So him just trusting what he sees and natural second and third effort with his health, I think we're going to get the type of player that complements those guys well, and they compliment him really well.
Final thing from Montgomery. I thought this was interesting. He spent some time talking about his path and his maturation and his development as a head coach. This obviously is not his first head coaching opportunity, but also spent some time as an assistant. We all know about the personal challenges that he has dealt with throughout his career as well. It's really a very cool story and a very unique path that he has taken to get to this point. And he talked a little bit about the things that he has improved upon during this journey and as he's gotten multiple opportunities to be a head coach in the NHL.
One big thing, X's and O's aren't as big a deal as I thought in the beginning. They're still very important, but managing people is way more important. Knowing when to motivate the team, when to pull back and let the captains push. I learned that a lot in Boston. You know, and then I think the most important part is trusting your instincts of when things are off and not being afraid to bring it to their attention in just in an honest fashion of this is what I'm seeing and I don't think we're going to correct it unless we talk about it. Mm-hmm. And deal with it.
And then last thing from Montgomery on that coaching topic, he gave a lot of credit to being around Craig Berube for being able to elevate him to where he's at right now as a coach.
Being around Chief really helped in my development. You know, the staff here is elite at the time. Otter and Davey and Rhino, I learned a lot from in all facets. But Chief, just how he handles the room, how he handles people, how... like he holds people accountable in a real simple and direct way. There's definitely things that I learned from.
That's Jim Montgomery, the head coach of the St. Louis Blues. As we will take a break, we'll come back and we'll wrap up the program. Again, Blues open up their season tomorrow against the Minnesota Wild. We'll have just a quick show tomorrow. We've got a Thursday night football for you tomorrow evening. So we're going to be on for just a half hour, but we've got the Eagles-Giants game. Coverage begins at 6:30 tomorrow, so we'll have you for Rush Hour Sports 5 to 6, and then Sports Open Line 6 to 6:30. But before we get to that, we have to wrap up today's program. We'll do that in just a moment right here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
We're back at it. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley, starting to wrap up the program. Just a half-hour show tomorrow, 6 to 6:30, leading into Thursday night football, but we will have a full 5 o'clock hour of the Rush Hour Sports program, myself and Kevin Wheeler, coming up tomorrow. I wanted to talk a little bit about today some news that had come out earlier that there was a Hulu documentary that was supposed to follow Bill Belichick in North Carolina football this year. And it's not happening. There's been a lot that has happened with Bill Belichick, a lot that's happened at North Carolina. And when I first wanted to talk about this tonight, I kind of wanted to focus on kind of the sadness of the situation, because Bill Belichick is an all-time great. He's an all-time behemoth in the world of coaching and in football. And whether it's the stuff that's happened with his girlfriend, the very young Jordan Hudson, some other things that have happened with him, it's really turned into a sad situation. And at one point, there was talk about doing a preseason documentary with the HBO Real Sports people, and then that got squashed. And the reason that that got squashed was that evidently Belichick didn't want something out there that didn't show basically how the story finished. So the HBO documentary, the Real Sports folks, they would have just followed him during preseason camp and then it would have been done. So when the Hulu thing came forth, it was going to be something that showed the entire year of Bill Belichick's first year at North Carolina. So you were going to get the entire story. Now, there was always going to be editorial control from Belichick in North Carolina and his girlfriend. In fact, there was a memo that was sent out at one point from North Carolina that basically said, if you see Belichick's girlfriend on the sideline, there is a reason for that, that she is going to be involved in the video side of things. So that's what's going on. Well, that was squashed. And that's what I was planning on talking about today. We're going to bypass that because of what is really breaking over the last few hours. There was a handful of tweets that were sent out from Ali Connolly of the Read Option and the Guardian. And inside of these tweets, I just want to make sure I give credit where credit is due. It's citing unnamed sources. One of them said Bill Belichick has already discussed buyout options with North Carolina's hierarchy. He has signaled a willingness to trigger his own $1 million buyout if he can find a soft landing spot with another team or in the media. You would think another team would be potentially in the NFL, where he is obviously a better fit. Another one of these tweets said, members of Belichick's coaching staff have already spoken to other schools that are expected to be in college football playoff about taking on roles during the postseason. From one coach, quote, the rats are leaving the ship. Some staffers believe a change will come within 2 weeks, unquote. And then another one that read, Bill Belichick's communication with his staff in the past 2 weeks has been described as weird and distant by multiple members of the North Carolina coaching staff. Multiple coaches were unable to get a hold of him during the bye week. It has also been reported that there might be some recruiting things that have happened that were not supposed to happen. So it's not really as clear what's going on, but an unnamed source says there have been many other violations that have occurred, many on the recruiting front. So when I planned on talking about this today, my focus was going to be on just the sadness of watching one of the greats when it comes to coaching and football, going to a place at North Carolina where he's not having success, this relationship with the girlfriend, which is really, really weird, the Hulu documentary, which could have been a celebration of Bill Belichick and his ability to coach, now just being completely thrown out after another documentary had already been thrown out during the summer. And now there is a viable scenario that Bill Belichick does not coach another game at North Carolina based off the reporting that has come out. And this is something that really over the last few hours, more and more details have come out. So to quote my good friend Mike Claiborne, stay tuned, because this is something that I think is moving relatively quickly, and we could see something at some point in the very near future where Belichick actually exits North Carolina. If all of these reports are true, like I don't know how you move forward. And there is a certain level of culpability with the leadership at North Carolina for thinking this was going to work. Because there are some guys who just are not built to coach college football. In many ways, being a college football coach is tougher and more challenging than being an NFL coach, because you are dealing with so many other. In the NFL, you got to coach the players that have been given to you, and you got to win. In college, you got to go find those players. You got to recruit. You got to be good in the living room. You have to keep those players before they transfer out. You have to deal with boosters. You have to deal with so many other things. You're dealing with kids. I got to go to class. Like, it's a different world. And it does not seem like that world is suited for Bill Belichick here at the moment. And again, there's a possibility we've seen the end of Bill Belichick coaching, period. I would think that there's at some point there's got to be an NFL team that would give him another opportunity. But right now, it does not look good for his immediate future at North Carolina. That is just about going to do it for the program. Again, I'll be back with you 5 o'clock tomorrow along with Kevin Wheeler for Rush Hour Sports, then 6 to 6:30 leading into Thursday Night Football. Thanks to all of my guests who are on the program tonight, and we look forward to talking to you again tomorrow right here on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day, and get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy, Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building? Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney+. Or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love, every day. 18 and up only, offer valid for eligible subscribers only, terms apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.